topics of this presentation. The decision in Tatum. Tatum was a major testing case decided last year. I'll talk about the background, the major issues that were addressed at the trial. I won't mention anything about the damages portion of the trial that was decided this year. And we'll talk about some takeaways, direct takeaways, and some thoughts I had on the implications. And we'll also take a quick look at two closely related cases involving the same agency, the same type of tests, and in one case, the exact same tests. So we're supposed to have learning objectives, so I came up with three. One is to list and describe the major findings of the court in Tatum. The next is list and describe the positions of the plaintiffs and the defense concerning test validity. And the next is list and describe the positions of the two sides concerning adverse impact. So let's start out with a quick, broad overview so you get some background. The lawsuit challenged promotional exams for sergeant. The exams spanned 8 years. There was one large municipality, Boston, and many smaller municipalities in Massachusetts. The civil service exams were developed in-house. They consisted of multiple choice questions and a evaluation of training experience. And that format hadn't changed in 50 years or so. The decision of the court was a blockbuster decision. It's 75 detailed pages. It covers several fundamental psychometric topics. It talks about some of the intricacies of doing adverse impact analyses. It talks about reliance on SMEs and when you can trust them and maybe when you can't. It talks about the limitation of multiple choice job knowledge items. It talks about ranking and banding. And the judge that heard the case was a very seasoned judge, and I think he did a very good job. So let's take a little look at what he decided before we get into why he decided that way. So overwhelmingly persuasive evidence that proves that the state civil service agency, HRD, interfered with the class members' rights for promotion without regard to race or national origin, basically saying the agency discriminated. So the judge said the state regularly administered written exams knowing the test format had an unnecessary, plain, and obvious adverse impact on blacks and Hispanics. So the plaintiffs were the blacks and Hispanics, and the civil service agency in Massachusetts has responsibility for developing the exams for all the municipalities that are under civil service, similar, I think, to New Jersey, but unsimilar to most other states. So the judge said HRD knew of clearly superior assessment methods, so he must have come to that session that was just right before this one. But continued to use the same unnecessarily discriminatory format anyway. So to the extent that this decision is going to be precedent, it's a very strong decision. It said HRD failed to implement some very simple ways to reduce adverse impact among black and Hispanic candidates. He must have been to that previous session. Instead of improving its assessment format, HRD promulgated lists providing thin veneer of apparent justification for a discriminatory process. The judge was not mincing words. He was convinced. Another point was that the discriminatory system deprived the public of the benefits of having the best qualified police sergeants. And the HRD knew what it was doing. It was not something they stumbled into. Now, what led to this conclusion? The court found by a preponderance of the evidence it finds credible. So it heard a lot of evidence and it believed some of it. What led to the conclusion is the subject of the rest of my talk. So as a quick summary of the decision, job knowledge test of this type was used for many years, consistently had adverse impact each year. It measured basically rote memorization. So there were half a dozen textbooks on the reading list, police textbooks. You're probably familiar with these police textbooks. Iannone, Supervision of Police Personnel, Swanson on Criminal Investigation and Police Administration and what have you. The court held that the job knowledge test did not measure the important KSAPs that could have been measured, they were invalid, particularly for ranking, and that the state did not use alternatives with less adverse impact, and so basically found intentional discrimination based on impact. And as I said, it's on this website. State developed commercial exams that were used for maybe 100 municipalities statewide. Boston had its own version of the exam that overlapped about 50% with the statewide version, but the other 50% covered the SOPs for the city of Boston, which makes sense. That the other exams didn't cover the SOPs for the various police departments, I think, was a severe weakness. There were two components, multiple choice 80% and education experience weighted 20%. There was a time and grade minimum qualification, and the class action was brought by Black and Hispanic test takers. Typically, municipalities participate biannually. Many of the questions were verbatim quotes from the sources. And there were many definitional questions. Maybe 20% of the questions were definitional. The court was not particularly happy with the definitional questions. The passing score was typically 70%. The difficulty varied across years widely. Sometimes you had 20% passing and sometimes 80% passing. The passing point was occasionally varied from 70%, but they didn't vary them based on difficulty. Basically, they set them at 70% and modified it once to try to reduce adverse impact at the passing point. So the education experience approach used a point method. There was a score of 70% that the candidates met the minimum qualifications. All the candidates met the minimum qualifications, so all scored at least 70%. So there wasn't a lot of variance that the E&E added to the multiple choice test. And if you did a correlation between the multiple choice test and the overall final grade, it was in the high 0.9s. So let's talk about the what we'll now go through. We'll talk about the topics discussed in the decision, other topics that we discussed trial but didn't get into the decision. We'll talk about combining data across exams. We'll talk about the aspects of adverse impact. We'll talk about the validity of the education experience and the validity of the job knowledge test. And the general pattern I'll follow is first I'll provide the defense's position, then the plaintiff's position, and then the court decision. So, with respect to aggregating data, the defense said we should omit police departments that had no promotion. And they said if you had no promotion, how can you have include them in analyses of promotion rates, which I think was reasonable. And since we're not going to look at them for promotion rates, if we look at the mean scores, we shouldn't consider them either. We should just not use those. The defense also said you shouldn't aggregate across years. And the reason you shouldn't aggregated across years is that it violated the assumption of independence of scores because some unknown number of people retook the exam. That makes some sense. The plaintiff said you should include the police departments with no promotions when you look at the analysis of means. If you want to see if the test had the minorities scored less well than the non-minorities, it doesn't matter whether somebody was promoted or not. They took the exam, and some were minority, some weren't minority. You're just throwing away data if you eliminate them. The state knew who the retakers were, and they refused to tell the defense, the plaintiffs. It was not until during the trial that they provided some of that information. So the plaintiffs weren't able to actually use that because they never provided the ID numbers in a usable form. And the court said, the court rejects the defense position that it should disregard entirely any results not based on a single test in a single department, which is what the defense wanted to do, look at each individual department. Well, a lot of these departments are very small. A lot of these departments only had one minority candidate, only had five non-minority candidates. You're not going to get any statistical significance when you're looking at it at ends like that. The court said was, after excluding all departments that had no diversity or made no promotions, that approach is biased in favor of finding no difference. So the court was insightful mathematically. That was the adverse impact for, that was aggregation, okay. Looking at the adverse impact for means, the defense said there was no statistically significant difference between the mean scores for most years and police departments. And that's because there were small numbers. And you should omit police departments that made no promotions when you compare the means. And then it said something very strange. The defense said you should require a significant three group and above of blacks, Hispanics, and whites before testing the difference between minorities and whites. Since you have maybe one or two blacks and maybe one or two Hispanics, your three group ANOVA is not going to show a statistical significance in any case. And they said you shouldn't combine across police departments for years due to violation of the assumption of independence. So the defense, the footnote to the table in the defense's expert witness report said pairwise significance, black-white, Hispanic-white, and black-Hispanic-white were tested only when the ANOVA score across all subgroups was statistically significant. So that was buried in the footnote. If you hadn't read the footnote, you wouldn't notice that they did a strange thing. Okay, so the plaintiff said, first, mean scores are germane to determining adverse impact. So usually adverse impact is who's promoted and who's not promoted and what's the rate of promotion. And the plaintiff said, the data really show a pattern. And the scores on the test drive passing rates and drive promotion rates. And the power is greater for statistical analysis of means than it is for promotion rates, because promotion rates involve very few people, and the statistical test of the means involve all the people. And it said the collapsing across municipalities is logical for means, and collapsing across years was thwarted by the defense. So the court said, The principal difference is that Dr. Wiesen included departments that did not make promotion. The court accepts Dr. Wiesen's methodology, which the court finds persuasive. So the court didn't have a lot of mathematical sophistication, but it saw the big picture. With respect to adverse impact ratio, the defense said there was no adverse impact for most of the exams. There was no statistical significance in small municipalities. Well, you only have one minority. You're not going to get statistical significance, even though for all the departments, the adverse impact ratio was zero. So if there were 12 departments, you have 12 zeros. But if you look at each department, none of those are statistically significant. And then it said collapsing across municipalities was illogical because if you're a minority or a non-minority in one department, you can't get promoted to a position in the other department. So combining across departments, they said, didn't make sense. And they said collapsing across years doesn't make violates a statistical assumption. And they said that Simpson's paradox could be operating. So Simpson's paradox is a very, very curious little paradox. And those of you who know it won't be surprised by the next two slides, but the others perhaps will be an eye-opening experience. It's something that can happen depending how the data looks. So looking within municipalities at these two municipalities, one and two, in the first municipality, 50% of the minorities were voted and 50% of the whites were promoted, which is an adverse impact ratio of one. In the second municipality, 10% of the minorities promoted, 10% of the whites promoted, an adverse impact ratio of one. Now, if you combine across the municipalities, so if you add all those numbers up, you get 92 people. So if you add them all up, you get a white promotion rate of 0.21 and a minority promotion rate of 0.14, an adverse impact ratio of 0.64. Well, that's a lot different than one. So that's because of the larger number of people here with a lower selection rate. So only when you have a larger number of people with a lower selection rate will you find Simpson's paradox. And then the defense said you should also use a Bonferrari approach when you test the differences for individual departments, because you don't want to inflate your error rate, and that protects it. Well, that means that instead of using a 0.05 criteria for your selection process, you might be using whatever, 0.005 or something, because there were many municipalities. So the plaintiff said that there was no pattern of data that supported Simpson's paradox. There were no departments where the adverse impact ratio was one, and then when you combined it, the adverse impact ratio was below 0.8. The pattern was the same in all the departments, and raising Simpson's paradox was a red herring. And that there was a pattern of severe adverse impact for many decades across all the exams. So Simpson's paradox should be disregarded. Then there was statistically significant adverse impact in Boston, that the Bonferrari approach was illogical if you were trying to answer the question, was there a statistically significant difference in one department? That answer shouldn't be a function of how many other departments took the exam. And you have to look at the pattern of the data because of the low power with only one minority test taker in many municipalities. And you should interpret the ratio adverse impact in light of the means. The means drive that. Then the defense used a shift to one in every municipality. Well, I guess you can make a logical argument for doing that, but that really that's a lot of shifts to one. That it's 30 shifts to one. It's really a shift to 30. And the plaintiffs also said that combining across municipality is logical for promotion rates if you use a Mantle-Hansel approach rather than a just combining the numbers. And it was hard to do the get rid of the retakers because you didn't give us the ID numbers. So what the court said, p-values greater than 0.05 but well less than 1 does not mean that data lack all meaning or that the court should exclude data from consideration a part of a larger body of evidence. The massive amount of evidence proving the known and unjustified disparate impact leaves no doubt in this court's mind. There was plain and obvious adverse impact on minorities and Hispanics. So the court didn't buy any of the obfuscation of the defense. Okay, with respect to education and experience, there was a point system and the defense claimed that the ENA measured many KSAPs, including perceiving and reacting to the needs of others, ability to be confidential, ability to follow policies and procedures and interpret policy. And the plaintiff said, all you're doing is looking at years of experience. You're not tapping any of those actual KSAPs or duties. The E&E years of experience aren't linked in any way to those KSAPs or duties. The quality of experience isn't credited. There's no credit for any experience outside of police departments, even in the military. And beyond that, the maximum impact of E&E on the overall grade is small. If it's a 80-20 split, that means 80 of the points are based on the multiple choice test and then 20 on the E&E, but everybody gets 14 on the E&E because there's a 70% passing point and everybody passed the E&E, so you only had 6 possible points. Plaintiffs, on the other hand, said that the E&E wasn't content valid. There was no basis for the 20% weight. And the court said there was no credit in the E&E system for things like community policing or involvement with the communities of the municipality. And the court said there was no credible support, actually no support, for saying that a bachelor's degree was equal to 6 years of job performance. The court recognized that the E&E had limited impact, said it wasn't changed for 50 years, didn't capture the skills it said it would capture, said the effective weight isn't 20% because of the way it scored. And finally, the court said there was no empirical support or credible professional study justifying the 20% weighting. Okay, with respect to validity, the defense said there was a test outline. The test outline was based on job analysis. The multiple choice question covered the essential areas, including knowledge of law, and said the multiple choice questions measured situational judgment, interpersonal skills, ability to plan, ability to reach logical conclusions based on the information at hand. It sounds pretty good. Law is really important. Sergeants need to know the law. The plaintiff said the major basis for the exam was a 1991 study. It was old. It was the newest job analysis study that was flawed. There were illogical ratings of tasks. The SME said that they qualified or practiced with weapons daily. They said they met with talks with leaders of the demonstrations daily. There were 11 SMEs. They were chosen because they had different assignments. Some of them were patrol, some were administrative. And there were about 26,000 ratings made. The validity study reported all the ratings, and there was not a single disagreement between any of the SMEs on any of the tasks or any of the KSAs, even though they were told they should rate these based on their job assignment. The plaintiffs also said that the items that were tested rote memory, not application, and that important KSAs weren't tested, said that the person put together the exam followed a procedure, and the procedure was to first select the easy questions. They had SMEs evaluate the questions. All the easy questions were included. If they ran out of easy questions, they went up to the next level. And the plaintiff said the SME item review was flawed, the weights were arbitrary, the passing point was arbitrary, and the validity evidence didn't support ranking. And the court said the SMEs ranked the importance of various KSAPs. Their rankings are implausible. I don't know where the court got the 1,100 ratings from. They didn't, the court missed 25,000 of them. And then the court picked up on they said that the sergeants just couldn't possibly be doing all of these things every day. And then they said that there were two chiefs that reviewed all the test questions. And the two chiefs testified. And the court said there were only two of them. They couldn't possibly have done a very good job because the test was terrible. So even though there were two SMEs and we have to give them some weight, the court only gives modest weight to the SMEs assessing the questions. Then it said many of the questions are definitional. And it said those have low fidelity. Sergeants don't go around defining questions, defining terms. Then it said the multiple choice exam was not a good predictor of job performance because the questions largely tested rote memorization of facts. And then it said the state identified KSAPs that were testable in multiple choice exam, but they didn't test them. They said there were KSAs measured in education experience, but they weren't measured there. And then it said the court didn't test many important job qualifications, the ability to apply the knowledge and exercise judgment. So that was a major point. The court said, chief among the essential skills for sergeant are leadership, supervision, decision-making, problem-solving, interpersonal skills, communication skills, integrity, and none of those appeared on the exam. But the court quoted one of the questions. So, according to community policing, the most critical determinant of future success as a community policing officer is, and the key is empathy of those. And the court said, this is not a measure of empathy. The state was saying, we measured empathy. That was important. And the court said, cut it out. All right. This is not a measure of empathy. And there were there were more questions like that, and the court was sophisticated. They said, the court said, you can't review all the questions in 8 years of exams, but what the court said it would do was use the examples that defense used in court as the best questions, and they critiqued the best questions. So one of the questions asked, what was the strongest action you could possibly take in this situation? And the court said, that's the wrong question. The question is, what should you have done in that situation? Not what's the most extreme thing that you could have done that could still be considered legal? So the court decided that the test failed to test meaningfully the KSAs required, and there's no credible evidence that the exams evaluated the information that they actually needed to memorize to do the job. Okay, ranking. The defense said ranking is required by state law, and the test did measure essential KSA fees, and we think the exam covered 40% of the KSAPs. And the plaintiffs said, that the ranks are imprecise predictors of job performance. They only tested 22% of the KSAPs identified in the job analysis, and that meant that 80% of the things that determine job analysis weren't covered. So how can you rank people based on such a small amount? And the court said, there was no credible study showed that single point differences in scores reflected any significant difference in job qualifications. And then it said, the HRD itself proposed banding for some previous exams in previous years, and therefore HRD has already conceded that the multiple choice exams are not sufficiently valid to rank, even though they claim they were. So, okay, passing point. The defense said that the passing points really weren't that important. You don't get down to the passing points for large departments, but of course for small departments, passing point is extremely important. The plaintiff said there was no attempt to link the passing point to the job. They chose easy questions. Passing did not indicate competence. Well, the state law differed a little bit from uniform guidelines. Uniform guidelines doesn't stress competence. The state law stressed competence. It said that your exams should tell you who's competent to do the job. Then incumbent sergeants failed the test. So this was a fortuitous finding. The sergeants, lieutenants, and captains' exams were banded. So the sergeants took questions 1 to 80. The lieutenants took questions 1 to 80 plus 20 more. Well, all the lieutenant candidates were current sergeants. So you could see how the lieutenant candidates did on the sergeant's exam. And maybe 15% of the current sergeants flunked, and the other people didn't do all that well. So the plaintiff said the passing point wasn't job-related. The court said the state didn't rely on any accepted scientific criteria for establishing the passing point. Okay. And with respect to alternatives, the defense said alternatives can increase adverse impact. And they're absolutely right. It's possible. If you add two things together that both have adverse impact, the total will have more adverse impact. And then it said that alternatives don't guarantee reduction in adverse impact. And they're right. You can't absolutely guarantee it. The plaintiff said, oh, but the firm you work for pushes alternatives as a way of reducing adverse impact. And in general, the alternatives improve validity and often reduce adverse impact. And the court said, HRD knew of clearly superior assessment methods, but continued to use the same approach. And it said, the defense's expert acknowledged that a performance review system could be useful, that performance review systems tend to reduce adverse impact, and his company recommends them, but that wasn't used either. So let me mention just the three related cases. So one was Tatum, we just talked about. Lopez talked about exactly the same exams. Tatum was in a state court, Lopez was in a federal court, and in Lopez, and I'll mention Smith, and Smith was a lieutenant exam, that exam that was the 100-item test instead of the 80. In terms of years, Lopez was first, and Smith, and then Tatum. The facts were very similar, and the legal arguments were very similar. In Lopez, the court ruled that the exam was valid based on what the expert for the defense testified. And the expert for the defense said that a multiple choice test alone wasn't valid, but with E&E included, the exam was minimally valid. And that expert also said that there's no guarantee that other alternative selection procedures would have less adverse impact. So that was Lopez. It took the court 4 years to write that. It was heard in 2010. The decision didn't come out until 2014. Smith said the same as Tatum. With respect to the learning objectives, the major findings, the state intentionally used an exam known to have adverse impact. There were absurd claims of KSAPs tested by E&E and multiple choice. One job analysis was clearly manipulated. The test was invalid and not adequate for ranking. With respect to objective two, the positions concerning test validity, defense was job knowledge and E&E is sufficient for ranking. The plaintiff said the job knowledge did not measure the knowledge as it was used on the job. The E&E was very narrow and missed many KSAPs, and the highest ranked candidates might be low in essential unmeasured KSAPs. With respect to the adverse impact, the defense repeatedly used shift of one and said you shouldn't aggregate over PDs or over years, and you should require an ANOVA, a three-way ANOVA before a three-group ANOVA before multiple testing minority, non-minority, should eliminate PDs with no promotions, and that Simpson's paradox might be operating. On the other side, the plaintiffs said aggregation is useful, and the mean differences help interpret the adverse impact ratio. And even if the adverse impact ratios aren't significant, if the means are, that means it's adverse impact. You should include all the PDs, and there's no indication of the Simpson's paradox. Now, some takeaways. It's very hard to write multiple choice questions on problem solving without good reference material. And there is no good reference material. We need to encourage the police departments to write more source material for problem-solving questions for sergeant. And I think the police department, police academy would be willing to do that. We just need to ask them to do it. The study material for law is often written by lawyers. Well, the lawyers, when they summarize laws, summarize things that police people don't need to know, like the history and when it changed, and number of years of the penalties. How many years might you spend in jail? Well, a sergeant doesn't have to know how many years somebody's gonna spend in jail. And then we need to be much more sophisticated consumers of SME ratings. SME ratings often are nonsensical, and you have to stop and say, wait a minute, What do you mean by that? I think that one of the reasons the judge was so strong in the decisions is that he didn't trust the plaintiff's expert. I think you really need to be honest and report. You need to have strong arguments, not just plausible arguments. You can't say, oh, this is going to test this, 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 and this, when it really isn't. The judge wanted more than multiple choice rote memory. And SMEs like the status quo. So if you've used an 80-20% breakdown for 50 years and you ask the SMEs, what's a good breakdown? That's what they're going to tell you. And I've made some presentations on related things. They're also at the same website. If you ever want to chat about any of this stuff, I'd be thrilled to chat with you about it. And if you have any questions, we have a few minutes of questions.